And then they played the Pokemon song like halfway through the night, and fucking everybody sang along with it because everyone knows the words to that song.
It's an awesome show. I prefer the second theme song, but that's just me.
There's a new Pokemon series out now. It's crazy. They keep making them.
There's a new Pokemon series every year. But I think this one ties into Black and White. I could be mistaken.
Yeah. Well, they usually
it does
start along with the new series, don't they? Or...
Yeah.
The best thing is they've actually started properly recycling plot lines.
I think they started recycling plot lines in the first season.
No, they didn't, but they've actually started doing it properly now. So, like, I think apparently the first episode of this new series has Ash, like, charge up Pikachu on some sort of water wheel or something like that. I think at this time it's actually a wind farm and just to win a battle. It's so stupid.
Like, yeah, if it, you do think for a guy who's been training for
Pikachu 15, turn into a fucking void ray.
But the guy's been training for like 15 years and he still can't win a tournament. At some point, you have to give it up.
And yeah, he has 10 million zillion bajillion badges. Somehow
he does. I mean, he overcomes these insurmountable odds with his Pikachu, who does everything. I want to see if you could, a Pokemon game where you just have one Pikachu in your party and just like run through the entire game, see how far that gets you.
You mean like Pokemon Yellow?
I kind of want to take you up on that challenge.
Have you guys heard the theory that none of this actually happens and that when Pikachu electrocutes him in like the first episode, he goes into a coma because after that he actually starts doing well, but before that, he sucks?
And it's all just a dream. That actually wouldn't
surprise
me. That wouldn't surprise me.
Did you also notice that Gary Oak had 10 of the 8 badges in Kanto?
But in the, this is going to sound nerdy, but in the anime, they just add in places that don't actually exist in the games.
Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense, because they have to, I mean, like, the first series is something like 3 years long or something like that. But there's only 8 badges in the first one, isn't there? And then he goes to the Orange Islands, which
In the first season, when nobody knew about the Orange Islands or anything, there was just, like, the original place, and Gary has 10 badges.
I know they got rid of Misty, but is Brock still around?
He just left, I think.
No.
He
left for a bit, and he came back, and then now he's leaving again for a whole new crew.
Uh-huh. They need to just end it with like a Ash, Misty, Brock team up again.
Has he opened his eyes yet?
Yeah, no. there was one episode where you get to see his eyes.
What?
I need to find this.
I have to find this episode.
Hey, YouTube, what's up?
Brock opens his eyes.
Are you actually searching for that?
Yes,
that's
I am.
That's exactly what I typed in as well.
There you go, hang on. I've got the image.
Whoa!
This is scary. Guys, I'm scared.
The one where he's pulling his eyes open?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What the fuck?
Post a link.
Okay, here he is. Copy, image. Okay, someone else already did it. Oh my god.
That is freaky.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Oh, I think I found another one.
Is he trying to make a point, or...?
I'm assuming that he's trying to scare the shit out of some Pokemon that's being a bitch. Like Togepi.
Oh, it's from here.
Tyranitar, it looks like.
Yeah, he's trying to make a face at it.
Larvitar.
FYI, I'm not a normal Jenny. I'm a wild Jenny.
What the? That's a wild Jenny? What the? What the hell is this?
I couldn't tell you.
That can't be real.
Did you just encounter Rule 34?
That's what I thought this was when I started watching it. And then Brock's
voice
is...
I mean, It could have been redubbed, but it
Rule 34 strikes again? Is that
Wait, what are you watching?
I'm watching the video that that Earl just posted.
Because if it's the new season, then they redubbed the whole thing, like, years ago.
Yeah, the voices are awful.
They changed all the voice actors years ago, because apparently they were getting too expensive. Yeah, they didn't want to pay them. A lot of people were happy, though, because it stopped four kids ruining it, but then you end up with shit voice actors, so it's...
All right, you guys about to shit bricks?
Yes.
Do I have to come out of Counter-Strike just to... Oh, I've seen that.
Holy shit.
You wouldn't... The only problem I have is...
You know what? I'm
like,
all out of bricks from Jesse's the 10
hair.
Or 12 times I've seen that already.
Jesse's hair is actually quite retarded, like, at the forehead. And
I was just going to say, that's rather impressive, though, because that's how she keeps it in the cartoon.
No, but...
And I was actually quite surprised when I found out that James is actually a woman.
Oh, I can tell James is a woman. The face is too feminine and too powdery.
Well, I mean, it's not like James doesn't cross-dress in the anime anyhow.
Oh, God, this person had to join us with, like, some ridiculous amount of custom files.
So, why do they always go after Pikachu?
Because they're stupid.
Yep.
Like, I mean, they at some point they encounter like, almost
the
every legendary
one,
Pokemon
like,
there
Pikachu's
is.
Pikachu's fucking rad. We're gonna get it for Giovanni.
Does Giovanni still keep them around? I did assume he fired them by now.
Is he not dead yet?
Is he still maybe Ash's dad, or is that...
No. Giovanni is actually... the whole story with who he's not Ash's dad, but... I don't know if you remember the dickhead who was your rival in Gold.
Yeah.
He's actually his dad.
So that's like an actual person, character?
Ironically enough, my rival in Gold
In the anime series, the rival in Gold is actually a completely different person whose name is Paul, but he's still a dickhead.
Okay.
He's no Gary motherfucking
He's the typical, very true. Like, Pokemon player where you catch one at level 3 and you see one at level 4.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, my fucking favorite thing in the world.
So, how do they do with the other bad guys? Because there's other teams in the games.
There's,
like, Team Magmar.
They just have all the teams. That, like,
they just come in and outdo Jesse and James.
In the Ruby and Sapphire one, there was Team Magma and Team Aqua who were fighting each other, and Team Rocket was just the stupid idiots that nobody gave a shit about.
Oh, God.
What?
We have been.
So, I take it everything I was going to say about Eurogamer is just out of the window now. Let's just talk about Pokemon.
We're just going to talk about Pokemon now.
Because, believe it or not, people, Pokemon is still popular in Japan and here. How many did sell first
the new
weekend?
One.
I think it's, what, 2.63 million?
2 million copies in a day.
Like, in a weekend. And, yeah, for a game that was a bad, like,
in a
what,
day, it
years
was
ago.
Sold too, so.
So, yeah. I mean,
you know what's going to come close, though, that I'm buying day one, I've decided?
What's up?
NBA Jam.
Nice.
Oh, so you're buying that on Tuesday?
Well, he's on fire!
I assume he's buying it on the Wii since the 360 and PS3 version have no date.
Have you played it yet?
I actually did play it at E3. I played it with three other guys from some company, and they needed one more person, and little did they know that I'm an NBA Jam fanatic, and two of them went home crying.
Nice.
Now, was this in the commentary or did you actually
make this is a serious business server. I'm not playing this.
NBA Jam is serious business.
I'm talking about Counter-Strike.
Yeah. what were you asking, Mike?
I don't know. It's awesome, though. Shit, like, I played it a bit, too. I'm really stoked to get it. It's really expensive, though. It's like 60 bucks.
It can't be. It's 50 bucks on Wii, I think.
Oh, yeah, 50 bucks. Oh, yeah. 60 bucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's
insane.
It's too much, but I need another good multiplayer game that most people know how to play, because when you buy fun games but you have people over that don't really know how to play them, you can't really play them.
It's true. And yeah, you, like, that's, I noticed that too when I was playing it. It's so easy to pick up.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I'm probably going to wait for the 360 version.
I played Bulletstorm, though.
No. Oh, yeah? How's that?
Oh, my gosh. I want that game now. That game can't come fast enough.
What?
There are some things to do with the like, laser beam thing that I would like to be able to do.
Everyone
always
laughs when I say I'm looking forward to it.
It is actually really fun. So you can, like, you get, it's just, you can shoot people, and the guns you got, so there was, like, there's the standard assault rifle, and then there was this thing, I can't remember what they called it, but it, what it did is it shot, like, a rope, and then you would then, pull the trigger again to detonate the rope. And, so you could, like, you, if you got two enemies next to each other, you could sort of, fire the rope at them, and then you could pin them to a wall, and then blow it up. And you could like, there were these things, they were kind of like odds in the ground, and you would go up to them, press X, and then you could upgrade, you could either upgrade your assault rifle or this special gun, or your, lance thing, and basically it's the thing you stretch out and you attach to people and you pull them. And if you upgrade that, you, sort of throw it out, and then you can hold it down, and it will slam them against the ground. The only problem I have with that was, is I felt myself wanting to, instead of pull people towards me, is sort of throw people to the left or throw people to the right, and you can't really do that. But otherwise, that game is going to be so good when it comes out.
Hooray!
I can say now, from Eurogamer, if you're planning on playing Crysis 2 on a console, you are better off not playing it at all.
That bad?
It is terrible.
What's so wrong with it?
The frame rates were, they were never solid. The frame rate was all over the shot. And it coupled with the motion blur, you couldn't see a thing. And it was just really hard to play. Just for a first-person shooter. And yet I went over to the PCs that had Crysis 2 running in 3D, and it was running completely fine. And, you know.
Maybe they haven't optimized it for consoles yet.
From what I've been told by numerous people is that the CryEngine is an unoptimized piece of crap, so I don't think that'll actually happen.
You never know. What else did you try?
Well, that's part of the reason why the first one was so difficult to run anyway.
I also hear the first one's not that great of a game as a game itself. Has anybody actually played it?
No. I don't know.
Watched videos of it.
I've played it.
Did you enjoy it?
It's cool to play around with the physics and stuff. I mean, it's not
a good game.
As far as the mechanics go, it's totally just another shooter. I mean,
but we don't have enough of those.
It does the shooting well, but it doesn't really do anything super crazy. The suit mechanics are interesting, but they kind of needlessly complicate things as well.
That's exactly what Crysis 2 was like. It was just like, okay, I'm running around shooting things, and now I'm invisible, and now I'm shooting more things. Great.
I like to shoot things invisible.
Yeah, but it doesn't do anything particularly different to any other first-person shooter out there. I can't do anything in Crysis 2 that I can't do in Halo Reach.
I assume Crysis 2 doesn't have SWAT, so that's always a positive.
Doesn't have fun.
I wasn't having fun on the single player, and believe it or not, because I played the demo on PC and 360, and the 360 demo, it was actually so broken that when you got to the end of it, what you had to do is before it actually finished, you had to press start and then tell it to restart the level so the next guy could play, and even then it would be a black screen, and you have to hold down Y, which is, I assume, the skip the cutscene button to get it to do anything. Because otherwise it would just crash, and that it wasn't just that one Xbox either, it was on a problem on all four of them that they had set up. Other things that I played, I didn't play much actually. There was a huge line for Brink, and I was like, screw that. And I didn't play Gears 3 because it didn't look any different to Gears 2. It just, you get to play as a ticker.
Well, on the bright side, they now have an extra 6 months to polish that game to make it something really special.
I played PlayStation Move, and I didn't play Kinect because it was either you play Kinect and make yourself look like an idiot in front of about 50 people, or you don't play Kinect at all, and I opted for the latter. PlayStation Move, though, is, I don't see why everyone's making a big deal out of it. It's just the Wii. That's all it is.
I actually did get to play the Move a little bit more at a Best Buy. Have you guys, how many of you guys have gotten your hands on the Move?
I have, well, yesterday.
Not at all.
Not at all?
I have.
Well, they showed a demo at a Best Buy. Basically, they had two of the Sports Champions games. You're able to play either the ping pong or the disc golf, which coincidentally are on the Wii Sports Resort, instead of, you know, trying something pretty new like Gladiator, which I wanted to give a shot. But anyway, the controllers were attached with some of those rubber cords that stretch really far, but they have a lot of cord memory. So when it wants you to stand far enough from the TV, you're pretty much straining the cord itself, and it's kind of pulling the remote away from you. And anyway, me and a friend of mine tried ping pong and we tried frisbee, and in addition to not having the charm of Wii Sports Resort and playing with your own Miis, it was needlessly complicated. Like ping pong, it was strange how it was more accurate to an extent. It would follow, you know, where your hand would be as far as where you needed to get the ping pong paddle hit the ball, but it was just off-putting. It seems the closer you try and get to realism, the more the fact that it's not real comes into play.
Yeah, the problem I had is it was like, right, this is the Wii. It's more accurate. Great. So where's the you must buy this factor?
Well, I thought they've been pretty upfront in saying that it's just a HD Wii, and they're going for that market specifically.
Well, I think they've been trying to...
Maybe to the, like, to us, but when you're talking about a marketing campaign, naturally they're bringing out the Nintendo Wii commercials, the same exact ones that they scoffed at in 2006.
Well, I think they're trying to get away with that by saying it's more accurate, it's more precise, it has augmented reality. I think the problem is trying to prove that to people. It's hard to exhibit why Move... Like Anthony mentioned, I think that was always one of the biggest hurdles, like, even though something's more precise, it doesn't necessarily mean a game's better or more fun.
Yeah,
it actually becomes more frustrating if you do not have those natural abilities in real life.
I just don't think that the PlayStation Move doesn't really have anything going for it because everybody's seen it before. Yes, people were underwhelmed because the Wii hasn't been great until Motion Plus came out, but there is absolutely no defining features of Move for you to go out and buy it, considering the games you get on the Wii are more fun because they have charm.
Yeah. What's your impression of the controller, by the way? What did you think?
Why did Sony put a trigger on it? Now, why didn't they put redesign the DualShock 3s to have triggers on them?
You mean the type of trigger like that?
It's on the DualShock 3, it's not a trigger at all.
They have four shoulder buttons instead of like the Xbox, which has the two triggers and the two
shoulders. Definitely
a trigger. It's got trigger action. I'm holding a DualShock right now, and I'm pulling it like a trigger, and it's a trigger.
It's not really a trigger. It's
the difference between the reason why it's not a trigger is when you pull a trigger on the Xbox 360 controller, depending on how hard you pull it, depends on how the game reacts. Whereas I've noticed while playing racing games with the PS3, it's either on or off. It's a binary button. It's not analog at all.
Okay, sure. I had never played racing games, so
I was about to say the same thing.
Well, say like the DualShock 3, it does have. It's not just a strict button; it is a trigger in that sense. I wouldn't be able to tell you if they've made use of how it's made to, you know, for how sensitive it is, but it's not a strict button. The reason I didn't like it is because it was almost an inverted trigger. Instead of having it curl with your finger, it curls away from it. It's awkward.
Yeah.
How is the button on top? Like the control, the button layout looks weird on top with the four buttons, and then it has like the T button. I think they call it that.
The T button is the trigger.
T button is the trigger.
I thought the T button was on top.
No, the
That's like the move button. It's just the big button with the actual logo. I actually haven't used any of the four buttons around it yet.
Okay, because I know Resident Evil 5 uses that. People were complaining because Resident Evil 5 uses that button to shoot instead of the
really?
Trigger on the... Yeah.
Wow. That's
well,
lame.
That's how it... And the, I mean, the way that it works, the way that the Wii version worked, the Wii port with Resident Evil 4 was... When you're moving around, you hold the trigger to go into aim mode since, you know, you're not, you know, moving and shooting at the same time. You hold the trigger and go into aim mode, and then you just hit the A button to shoot, which actually worked all right. I mean, I guess you could work it the other way around, too, but essentially the trigger sets your feet and lets you start aiming while the A button or the move button will let you pop shots off.
Yeah, I just I don't think the move button is... I think had they just made it X or... circle or something, it'd have been
They have those buttons as well. They have like X and triangle and box and circle, don't they?
I played Socom 4. I didn't see anything on with move, and then I didn't see anything too gripping about it, and then it crashed.
Nice. but before we move on, I'm curious to see what Chad thinks. If he's still around.
About?
Move. You said you played it as well, didn't you?
About what? Move?
Move. In general, the tech.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much whatever what we've already covered. Yeah, I mean, it does what the Wii does better than the Wii does it because it came out however many years after. But the type of people who are buying the Wii aren't the type of, generally speaking, again, speaking in generalities, aren't the type of people that want more precise control. Like, as you mentioned with the ping pong, it's... Part of what makes all the Wii Sports games really good is you can just kind of generally make a hitting motion and you kind of hit the ball. You don't have to be an all-star ping pong player to pull it off. But that said, like I mentioned last week, I mean, people seem to be digging it. There was a Sports Champions, like the Gladiator game set up when I was at Frag for Cancer last weekend. And there was a line constantly. People were trying that out.
Now, I'm curious, when people were trying it out, were they actually, like, playing it, like, you know, one-to-one, or were they just, like, rolling away at people?
Oh, they were just wailing away.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It looks like the type of game where you can just forego strategy if the other person's not using it and just kind of whack each other until somebody dies.
I tried it for a couple minutes, and it instantly reminded me of Tournament of Legends, and then I ran far away.
Good times. So, anybody else play anything while we're on this week?
I actually did get my hands on Halo Reach for the first time, really, for the past 2 weeks. And I know we've been talking about it for a while, but so all I'll say is it is fun. The DMR is a lot of fun, but I completely agree with all the idiots who keep choosing SWAT and snipers.
You mean you disagree with them?
No, I agree with you guys in that it's...
Oh, okay.
Good. I don't have to care about that in 2 days because they give it its own playlist.
I am so happy for that. I'm just going to throw like a Reach party.
Wait, what?
They're going to Team Spy is getting its own playlist.
And they're removing it from Team Slayer and Big Team as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Are they moving snipers as well, or is that?
I think they're removing Big Team snipers. I don't know whether they're removing Team Snipers or not. I don't know.
Yeah, because I realize my problem with snipers, it's still snipers, but I think it's the layout of some of the maps like Hemorrhage, where it's just get this huge empty space in between.
I don't like Blood Gulch anymore, because the DMR has generated that huge space that nobody enters. And the whole idea about Blood Gulch was going into the caves in the side and getting in the tanks. And, you know, I love Blood Gulch because it's a map with a lot of different spaces in it, and the DMR just removed all of those, so everyone just stands at the base taking pot shots at each other from the other side of the map.
Now that I think about it, I haven't seen any vehicles. Are there vehicles in the levels?
Yeah, there are vehicles. You have to get a Forge World level.
Are there maps that have vehicles except in
Paradiso, which is a Forge World one, Hemorrhage, which is a Forge World one, which is a remake of Blood Gulch.
I miss the Warthog.
It has Warthogs, and I think it has a tank, and that's usually what happens. Or you can play Invasion today, which has a ton of vehicles, and that sometimes gets upsided pretty quick.
If you manage to get Elite Slayer, Big Team Elite Slayer on Hemorrhage, oh my god, that is so fun, because both teams start with a Wraith, four ghosts and a revenant.
That sounds like... Yeah, but usually what happens is one team rushes to the other side, destroys the tank, and just control the map.
Oh, no, that's just when you're playing with the Scorpion, because they asked Bungie actually removing the Scorpion from Hemorrhage, because it's a the people just use it to spawn rape.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is they could so easily fix it by adding anti-vehicle weapons.
But are there any... I mean, I guess the Spartan Laser would still be
one. The Spartan Laser.
Does the rocket launcher, onto vehicles this game?
It doesn't, but you can still use it as an anti-vehicle weapon. And the plasma launcher.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so I mean, that's it for Reach. It's going to become our StarCraft 2 from now on. Kind of that...
Compare those two in the same breath.
But I heard there's a patch coming out for that, but nobody plays StarCraft and nobody cares, so just skip that.
I'm sure it's probably a patch to put Master Chief in it, like the Spartan race.
It's a total conversion patch, which turns into Halo Wars.
Yeah, it also gives in Kinect functionality, so, you know, it makes it a much better game. What about Mike? What have you been playing?
I have been putting most of my time into Planescape Torment, recently released for goodoldgames.com. And,
I do not know what this is.
You don't know what Planescape Torment is?
I heard about that. People have been making a big fuss about that since it came out on GOG.
Okay, well, basically, it is the best talent from Obsidian before they were dissolved from Black Isle Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Headed by Chris Avalone, who is a writer for most of their games. He did stuff like Knights of the Republic 2, the recently shitty Alpha Protocol. Actually, it wasn't that bad, but... anyways, he's a really good writer, and this game is mostly straight-up story. Like, it is a lot of fucking reading. Gameplay is basically a way to get from one point of the story to the other, and... it's a D&D-style Western RPG. I think it came out... mid-90s, and takes place within the Planescape universe, which I'm not too familiar with anyways. But basically you play this dude who's got no name, he's the nameless one.
The dude? And
he's a dude.
Level 6.
He can't die. And for some reason or other, you're trying to figure out why he's immortal, and the ultimate goal of the game is to die.
And it plays like,
it's a really cool premise, and it plays really similarly to other Western RPGs like Fallout or Baldur's Gate or whatever, if you're familiar.
Yeah.
But it's been unavailable since release, basically, because of all the studio drama or whatever, and had not been available for digital distribution until like Good Old Games just picked it up. So I haven't played it since it came out, and I've been modding the hell out of it to go through another run of it, and it is a great experience for anyone who is interested in a lot of reading, but it's well worth checking out.
I get a book.
Well, it's basically like a book, yeah.
This may be me with my stupid morals, but I really, I'm really kind of iffy about buying from, because I was going to buy Total Annihilation, because I used to play that when I was a kid, all the time, from Good Old Games. But since they pulled that stupid marketing stunt, I'd be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't.
Where they took down the site?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. But they made up for it with this, because holy shit, I've been waiting for it for so long. And this is actually my first digitally bought game. For PC,
really?
Because, well, I have a bunch from Steam, but my computer just can't fucking play them, and this game is so old that it runs like a charm, and I've just been having one hell of a time modding it, and like, look at me, I'm a PC gamer.
You're one of the cool kids now, three of you.
Master Race.
Hey, look, I can't be classed as a PC gamer for so long as I'm playing off an integrated graphics chip, okay?
I couldn't tell you what graphics chip my computer has in it.
Chad,
so.
I am playing off of an integrated graphics chip. Somehow I'm playing TF2 at 50 frames a second.
How are you doing this?
Integrated graphics chip. It's on low settings.
Okay.
We would ask Chad what he's saying, but I honestly don't want to hear more about StarCraft.
Oh,
why don't we move on to 3DS, since that was big news this past week on Wednesday.
I wanted it to be a Eurogamer and it wasn't, and I was.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised, but I really wanted it to be there because I will not buy it until I see it in action first.
Yeah, I think that's what Nintendo's going to have to do. And
that's the problem with Nintendo, is they have something. The huge selling point of the console is something they can't advertise.
I mean, they'll find a way. I mean, they've done that with the Wii. They did it with the DS to an extent. I don't know if you've had that in Europe, but we had like the Cube, or like the Wiimobiles.
No, we never had those. Nobody gives a crap about Europe, so.
Well, I mean, it's true. You
the best they have to do is just to cut a lot of deals, have it promoted in a lot of stores, to have it up at the front, or like Earl just said, you know, have vans, have it showing off at malls. They have to advertise it to the point where it says, go to your local store and check this out. You need to see it, because that's the only way that they're going to warrant the higher price.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not gonna buy it, until it actually has the games that I want to play. Normally, I will buy the game. Normally, when it comes to handheld, I'll buy the system for the games that will come. I'm not going to buy the 3DS because of its price tag until it has the games that I want. And those games are Ace Attorney anything, and Pokemon, and anything else that tickles my fancy.
Do the ports, the Nintendo 64 ports tickle your fancy?
I was a PlayStation 1 kid, so no.
So they should tickle your fancy. You never got to play them.
Yeah, but I don't like the Zelda series. I'm not too interested in Star Fox. So.
Okay.
What else are they porting other than Ocarina of Time and Star Fox?
I think that's it for N64 games.
Yeah, that's it for now. I'm hoping they have, you know, if they have a bunch of these ready at launch, that'll be fantastic, but
the MGS3 remake was a bit surprising. I was like, hang on, that's a bit random.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to pick.
Gorgeous.
It's weird that they went with 3 when they had, they did a remake of 1, and then there's like 2 and 4, and it's like, we'll just pick 3.
I'm not a Metal Gear Solid fan anyway, so, you know.
Maybe it has the best story, who knows.
Then they have Paper Mario, Mario Kart, Professor Layton.
Paper Mario and Mario Kart, I'll get those, but I'm not going to buy the system for 2
games. I'm going to buy the system for Paper Mario. When I saw the Paper Frog suit, I kind of saw, I mean, I was still once I heard Paper Mario, but yeah, Paper Frog suit really is ace.
We'll just say this. It has its opening lineup with software viewable and, you know, its potential with third party is about 5 times better than what the DS had for its launch.
Well, definitely, because the DS, think about the DS's library, is really nothing but RPGs and point and clicks and the educational games like Dr. Kawashima.
Yeah, we're talking about like the start of the DS.
Wasn't that Field of Move or Field of Touch?
I'm talking about, the 3DS isn't even out yet. The 3DS has way better potential for library than the DS has ever had.
And the Wii, sadly enough.
Yeah, but I think I saw someone somewhere say that the 3DS in some ways is the Wii HD, and I was like, maybe it is.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I don't. I think, their handhelds are more successful, and I think, at least as far as third parties are concerned, it's less of a risk than their console counterparts, because Nintendo has never really had an unsuccessful handheld, as you count the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a handheld, was it? It was more of a...
I don't know what you call it. It was in between. It wasn't a console, but it was in a handheld. And, I mean, that's why it did so well. But, I mean, I guess we might as well talk about the actual announcement. First was that it's coming out next year in Japan, Europe, and the States. I was surprised.
That surprised me.
I was actually surprised. I thought it was coming out next year. I predicted March in the States because it makes no sense for them to have it out this year.
Yeah, but I thought it would be out in time for holiday in Japan.
How, I mean, okay, the DS still sells extremely well in the States, Europe, and Japan. Pokemon just came out, so that's probably going to take them through the rest of the year in Japan. They haven't released Pokemon Black and White here until next year. We still have Golden Sun this year. I mean, the DS doesn't have a strong library, but it would still sell to kids for one final Christmas.
Yeah, but at the same time, the reason why it would be smart to, you know, put the 3DS there is that it is a hefty price point, and then a lot of people, myself included, you know, it'd be easier to handle if it was got for you as a gift for Christmas or whatever, but I'm going to be taking some birthday money and, you know, putting
also,
it towards it.
Also, if you're a gift buyer and Nintendo comes along and says, hey, here's a new shiny thing, you're going to want to get that new shiny thing for somebody, aren't you?
I get that, and I mean, I agree with that point, but the fact is, I mean, they've realized that they can release it anywhere, anytime, and it still does well. I mean, the original DS was released in, what, June?
No.
When?
November.
The DS?
Yeah.
I thought it was June of 05.
That's DS Lite.
Okay.
The DS Lite was released in 05?
Well, whatever the DS was released in November of 04, and then the DS Lite was released, I don't know, it was released maybe 06, I think, yeah, spring of 06, and the DSi was released in 09.
Yeah. The DSi was in March, that much I know, because I got that for my birthday. but yeah, I mean, they can still do it in March and still get away with it, I think.
Yeah, but it's
and
Nintendo.
I think it builds up to
it will sell like hotcakes anyway.
Yeah, I think it really builds up to a better lineup for the holidays where they can have like a big title. I can see Mario Kart being the title for like their November 3DS title or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, Mario Galaxy, they were all early, first half titles and they did well. So I think Nintendo's just kind of realizing it doesn't have to be November or October. It doesn't need to be the holidays because they get the whole year and then they'll get the bump during November and December because kids are going, you know, parents are like, oh, it's Nintendo, you know, it's safe, it's kid friendly and whatever.
It's a good question. You're talking about the Wii. What do they have after this holiday?
It's a sad state of affairs for that console.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they have Zelda. They have Zelda. you can count Mario Sports Mix. That was so well. They have the Conduit 2. They have Lost in Shadows. And I think that's pretty much it for them.
Speaking of Zelda, apparently that was a Eurogamer, but unannounced. And
really?
It's funny because I was told that it was there unannounced, and then I kind of walk over to where it is, and there's a huge line for it. And I was like, so much for unannounced.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's the same demo from E3.
Yeah, all of the demos were just E3 demos, but I'm not complaining because I got to play Bulletstorm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you didn't get to play them at E3, so you might as well.
I know.
And since we tiptoed around it, but we haven't mentioned it, the price was announced for Japan, and it works out to about $300 American. I don't know how much it works out for you, Brit.
If $300 American is like £250.
Okay.
Which is,
we'll see if it's actual direct translation, though.
Let's just put it this way.
It's making my $250 prediction look really good right about now.
Yeah, I'm going with $250 as well.
It would make more sense because pricing the 3DS at the same price as a PlayStation 3 is not wise.
I know, for the PlayStation 3, it just makes it like a bad deal. But, yeah, I don't. I think 250 or 300 is too much to ask for a handheld.
But they can get away with it, right? Like, they look at something like the iPod and...
The iPad.
And it sells like hotcakes. And Nintendo's got the history that you know it's going to do amazingly well for whatever.
See, the difference between that though is that it's a high initial purchase for the iPad, but like the software for it's much cheaper than like $30-$40 games for a DS.
Yeah, but the iPad has a less clear purpose.
But that's the other thing is that you don't have to buy, like if you buy a 3DS, you're most likely buying it for games. You're not buying it as an MP3 player, you're not buying it as a movie watcher.
Yeah, but you don't buy the iPad for any of those. This is the problem with the iPad.
Well, that's not a problem if you
can do all of those, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you buy, you can buy for many different things, and you get added features on the side. That's, I mean, it's like, it's a good service. I mean, Nintendo can try that, but I mean...
Well, that's what they're doing. Is can't the DSi play music and videos to some extent?
I think the DS can, but I don't think anybody uses it.
Well, this is the problem, though, is...
I mean, I have an 8-track player that can play music too, but that doesn't mean it's the way I want to listen to music.
That's true. I know, I just don't think... Either way, the price is too expensive.
I think the price is too expensive.
It is too high.
I think, I mean, 200 would be ideal. It would be kind of weird to have it priced at the same point as their console. I assume the Wii's going to get a price drop sooner or later this year.
You think so?
I mean,
a price drop over here.
The sales are really kind of waning. I'm sure it's going to probably pick up near the holidays.
Yeah, but
a
price drop won't save the waning sales of the Wii, because anybody who wants a Wii now has one.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Up, like.
Exactly. Whereas, because I know, believe it or not, I know people who have decided to get an Xbox 360, and their main reason for getting an Xbox 360 is Halo Reach.
That's not surprising.
It's you know, whereas with the Wii, another Zelda game.
Well, I mean, that's next year, but this year, I mean, it's like they have, like, GoldenEye's really like the first major first-person shooter they have. What you think of it, whatever, but it's for people, you know, people who had an N64 in college and probably didn't buy a PS2 or a GameCube or 360. They have that. Donkey Kong Country Returns is a game from, 15 years ago? So they can have, like, a crowd of gamers who were probably interested in the Wii, but it's like these are the games that they hear about and they know about, and it can bring them back. I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but the lineup does have potential. I don't think anything's going to sell.
I think a lot of those people would already have a Wii.
You see, I don't necessarily think that, because that doesn't, I mean, just because this game's like,
a lot of the time, if you play something like Donkey Kong Country, you'd also be into other Nintendo franchises that have already gotten Wii iterations.
Super Mario or Punch-Out.
I get that, but I think there you can be a Donkey Kong fan without necessarily being a Mario fan, or you can be a GoldenEye fan without being a fan of other shooters.
No, I can see where you're coming from, but I just think that's what I think is more than likely to be, that those people have a Wii already.
I think a great portion of them might, but there still might be... I mean, Epic Mickey's another one that I think could bring in people who probably didn't hear about the Wii, which is hard to believe at this point, but, I mean, that's a whole Disney crowd that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
It has potential. It's next year, I think, when it becomes a problem, because they really don't have any type of support to back up Nintendo, and it's going to get to the point where it's like the N64, where you have, like, 6 or 7 months in between game releases.
Yeah.
And
Nintendo really needs to kind of do something about the Wii.
I think Nintendo itself is doing something. I think they need to work on third-party support. And that's been their problem for the last two generations.
Nintendo can't work on it. It's that the third party, when they release a title on Nintendo's, one, underpowered system, so they can't, you know, make their glorious project as much as they could on the other two. It's that when they release it on Nintendo's system, they have to compete against Nintendo's games.
Which I understand, but on the same hand, that's like saying... I mean, it's like saying the other games don't compete against it. I understand if you have a 360, you probably aren't interested in Super Mario Galaxy, but third-party games have to compete with that game when it comes out as well. I think it's just a coward's excuse for them to say, you know what, we can't compete with Nintendo's games. Instead of like making like 50 crappy Pets games or My Sims.
Yeah, but what you're forgetting though is the really good games that are from third parties, they still sell like crap.
Because I think it gets to a point where I think third parties waited too long to start rolling out those good games, because you had like a sprinkle of games the first 2 years, like Zack and Wiki, No More Heroes, and I'm really drawing a blank on a lot of third-party stuff that came out in the first 2 years of the Wii. So it's kind of like you get it where it's like, oh, you get one or two gems here or there, and then everybody else was like Redneck Triathlon or something stupid like that, which is an actual game.
And 10,000 fit game.
That sounds
game.
Like a game I'd play.
Yeah. I actually wanted to buy it just to test it out.
Oh, God.
It's like $20 at GameStop, but I'm like, you know what, I'm not even that desperate. But, yeah, and I understand that they don't have the tech to support it, but I always thought the point of the Wii was that you wouldn't do games you already do now, well, did at the time. And nobody's really stepped up to that. I mean, that's not true. There are tons of great, unique third-party games like Yoto King's Story.
Boom Blocks.
Mario Musa. Mad World to a degree. I think they should have priced
that
better.
Yeah, but you're kind of contradicting yourself there because both Little King's Story and Muramasa don't do anything specific to the Wii. That is kind of just making games that you made before and porting them over.
I understand that it doesn't do anything specific to the Wii, but I think those type of games were catered for the Wii because they had to compensate for the lack of power.
Boom Blocks.
Someone likes Boom Blocks.
It's an awesome game.
Come on.
I have played Boom Blocks. And
somehow Boom Blocks wasn't
awesome.
Somehow Boom Blocks wasn't that great, but Tumble's the second coming, so who knows.
How is Boom Blocks not great?
No, I mean, that's the other thing I think is like a lot of press and gamers are like always like Wii has no games. But then you have something like, Sword and Soul just got announced with PSN. It became this huge game now. Well, not a huge game, but it's like, oh, I always wanted to try this game. The same thing with NBA Jam or No More Heroes or Dead Space Extraction. Like, you can't keep championing these ports of Wii games to your console and then saying that Wii had no games to begin with if you were waiting 2-3 years for a port. And somehow we're completely off the subject of the 3DS. I mean, I'm assuming everybody here is going to get one at some point.
I will get one as long as the franchises I like are on there, because I'm not a big handheld gainer. Gamer. Can't speak. But I like playing my DS in bed and just like relaxing to Phoenix Wright or Pokemon, because it's something that I can just play and not really get into. Well, I can get into it, but it's easy.
Mike?
I just don't feel like I should pay £200 for the privilege.
Are you gonna get it?
I don't know. Like, I held off on the DS when that first came out. But my iPhone fills that gap so well, I'm not sure if I need it. Like, if I do buy one, I know I'm gonna buy it, and I'm never gonna use it. Just like my DS. Like, yeah. I'll buy games for it, I'll play them for an hour and a half. And say I'll come back, but like I can't spend that amount of time on a handheld anymore when I'm at home and I can play a console. Like, I'm not in any situations anymore where
you have
having
to
a DS is practical.
No traveling, no playing in bed.
I got my iPhone for that.
Well, what kind of iPhone games are you? Because when I'm thinking about iPhone, I'm thinking about like Words with Friends or Angry Birds, those kind of pick up and play type things. But for example, as we were talking about, DS is good for RPGs. I was a fan of the Mario and Luigi series and Pokemon, and even Mario Kart and Tetris to an extent.
Yeah, and those I'll play. Like, those are the odd ones I do play. But for the iPhone, I'll be playing adventure games, which I don't get a chance to play anywhere else, and they're cheap and they're available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, recently, I just picked up Puzzle Agent for 99¢ from Telltale, and that's awesome. It's just what I need. Like, I can play it for 20 minutes, get a good feel out of it, and then maybe somewhere down the line pick it up again. And just like that, no problem.
Yeah.
Or like Curse of Monkey Island or whatever. Like, stuff like that that I wouldn't normally look for, but I get enough enjoyment out of that I don't need something else to complement it. Okay. Like, I'll try picking up, I don't know, what did I just pick up for my DS? Pokemon
Platinum.
Platinum. I bought that though, and I played it for like
Soul Silver.
The first, yeah, Soul
Gold.
Silver. Soul Silver. I bought that for a trip when I went down to LA, and I put a good amount of time into it there. But as soon as I got home, done. Have not started it up.
Did you use the PokeWalker, by the way?
Didn't get up to the point where they introduced it.
Is that that's not in Heart Gold and Soul? Is that?
Yeah, that's it came bundled with it, and it actually was. I'll be honest, it was the reason why I was convinced to buy it, because it was genius. I mean, the very idea of that peripheral is that, you know, it's essentially a mix between a Tamagotchi that you can put your Pokemon into, and you can level it up while you're walking and find items and other Pokemon while you're not essentially playing your game. It's a pedometer.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that was...
Or you could be like my brother and just tie it to a ceiling fan.
I tried that. It didn't work. I tried a lot of different techniques, but I mean, unless it's got a sporadic ceiling fan, that's one constant centripetal velocity that
it doesn't... What if he tied it to like, what if he tied it hanging down so it kind of went up and down as it's spun around?
Yeah, that's what he'd have to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with Mike.
I don't know if it actually worked. I just saw him tying it to his fan and thought it was hilarious.
But yeah, I agree with Mike. I have the same problem with handheld games. Where I, like I've mentioned this before, Professor A, and I start the games when I go on trips, and then it's like, I don't play handhelds at home because I have three consoles that need attention, and I don't have a long enough commute anymore. I used to, like, when I used to work in the city, it would be like an hour. That would give me time to, you know, play a couple of games or whatever, but at most, my last couple of jobs have been like 20 minutes. I can't even start Pokemon and get a creature before I have to get off the bus. So, I mean, I'll get it for Paper Mario because I will finish that, but I also am afraid that Nintendo might release like a 3DS i like a year later.
Yeah, that's that the recent one handheld a year thing is kind of making me wait as well.
Apple?
If they start, Nintendo been like, oh, here's a new DS, right? It's DSi, and it was like, oh, cool, and then like, oh, here's a bigger one with more battery life. A year later, and I was like, oh, so soon?
And then next year there's going to be a smaller one, just because the big one we thought was too big.
Yeah, it's just, I just think that, I just need to see whether Nintendo's going to start reiterating the console every year before I buy.
Just a fun little experiment, start playing the DSi XL, and then after a few days, go to the Game Boy Micro.
I prefer my DS Lite.
I play that way more than I play my DS.
I prefer my DS Lite.
I love my Micro.
I prefer my DS Lite to my brother's DSi XL, I have to say that.
I actually like the DSi, I just didn't like the mated finish. It had a weird texture when I first got it.
I like it.
I mean, I got used to it, but I didn't like it at first.
I like the clicky buttons more than the squishy buttons.
I felt that the DSL was just too big.
Yeah.
The DSi or the XL?
The XL even.
Well, yeah, the XL, you wouldn't really take it anywhere. That's more for, that's almost like the same kind of market as the iPad user who, you know, wants to play Brain Age or, I don't know, Layton, you know, just sitting on their couch at home while they're watching TV.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if I was rich.
So, I mean, we'll have time to play out 3DS next year because Gears of War got pushed back into fall of 2011. They gave no reason for that.
They said it was a business decision, which tells me that the only reason is every other game releases in the fall, so we're going to do it as well.
I honestly think it's the Microsoft had nothing to fill the gap.
And there was me thinking that, you know, I'd actually be able to buy the
game, yeah.
You know, because it releases at a decent time. No, they go and delay it. So now I have to pick and choose again.
Well, no, I mean, who knows? They could come out in like September.
And saying, hey guys, so what have we got coming up this fall? And then they just kind of look around, you hear crickets, and they're like, shit, we don't have anything to come out this fall.
Because I think really almost gears. I think almost all of their major That's... studios released something this year. They had Alan Wake, they had Reach, they had Fable 3. Who else do they have? Or Rare's doing the Kinect Adventures and Kinect Sports. Who else do they have making games for them?
Nobody. That's the problem.
So I think they realized they had no major game lineup for fall 2011. Like, we'll just throw something. We'll just put Gears of War out and hope Kinect sells. Because, honestly, I think that's the only type of exclusive they have for the next few months are Kinect games. And I guess Fable 3.
Is it bad that the only thing I'm looking forward to for Kinect is the new dashboard? Even though I already have it. I'm not going to get Kinect just for Dance Central. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. You know you want to dance to... What song would you dance to?
I don't know. It's just I really like the dancing minigame in WarioWare on the Wii.
Oh, that is so much fun.
It's kind of funny that it took a developer 3 years to make that an actual full game with Just Dance.
Have you not heard of DDR?
Well, no, I'm talking about HD Ho. Because DDR is more of a, I guess, foot-based game.
Yeah, but it's still dancing.
And no, I'm not saying there hasn't been dancing games. There's tons.
Just dance.
There's Boogie, which didn't do that great. And no, I'm sure
it didn't take them 3 years, really.
I'm sure it took them like half a minute. I heard the game's not that great, but it sells well. So I mean, you can't fault them for having two sequels this year.
If they made a WarioWare game that was just that dancing mini game with different songs, I would so buy it. Even if it was their own silly little songs, I'd still buy it because that was so fun.
There's no reason why they couldn't make that a WiiWare game.
Yeah.
Has Nintendo done much on WiiWare?
They haven't done anything.
They've done stuff on WiiWare. They haven't done. I know they did Pokemon Rumble.
They just did the Pokemon stuff, I think.
They did Eco Shooter.
They did Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario. They have Fuity coming out soon. But yeah, I think Nintendo's one of those. Like, they have these ideas and they just kind of it sounds cool at the time and they never go for it.
You could also argue, what have Microsoft done on Xbox Live Arcade?
You see, the thing is, I think Microsoft and Sony tend to get free passes because everybody else does stuff for them. I mean, usually when you hear about the Wii, it's usually on the fault of Nintendo doesn't do this for us, Nintendo doesn't make that type of game.
The difference between the Wii and the other two consoles, the other two consoles don't need first-party titles, and that don't need the first-party titles to have a bar, whereas the Wii does.
But that's what I mean. It's like when it comes to the fault of the Wii, it's always on Nintendo's shoulders and not the fact that they have nobody else with them. Whereas Microsoft
and Sony don't have to admit that their third-party titles don't sell that well, whereas Nintendo has and did.
Yeah, it's like they're always on the defensive in that regard. And, an example is that Mega Man 10, I think, sold Mega Man 9 at least sold better on WiiWare than it did on the PSN and Xbox Live because it's kind of one of the more notable games for the WiiWare, whereas it's just kind of another game for PSN and Xbox Live Arcade.
The problem with the WiiWare,
I'll give Nintendo the pass on WiiWare because WiiWare is the opportunity for developers that don't have as big of a budget to release something, phenomenal that wouldn't otherwise see the light of day. Example, World of Goo, released PC.
The thing with WiiWare is Nintendo have a limit, I think, of 42 megabytes for WiiWare games. So
like that.
It really encourages people to make something that's really short and really sweet instead of fairly big like Battlefield 1943.
I will fault Nintendo is their complete lack of dedication to the virtual console lately. We've seen nothing.
I mean, they come out with one, but they announced Mario Party 2 for this year.
They announced the virtual console for the 3DS, if that counts.
That'll
be interesting, and I'm actually surprised at the fact that you can transfer your DSiWare over. It's the first kind of proactive they've done for that kind of situation.
Yeah. I've seen that misreported, actually. A lot of people saying you can buy GBA games I don't think you can. But Game Boy and Game Boy Color games would be interesting, though. I would buy Wario Land 3 because I love that game.
There are a lot of games that I cannot wait to play again.
I'm kind of curious about Metroid 2 because I've never played it, and it's like the only way to get it was on an original Game Boy.
Yeah.
It's okay.
At the bottom of the barrel for the series, but it's still something that, it's kind of lost in time. But to touch on Anthony's point real quick, and I agree with you on the fact that the WiiWare, PSN and Xbox Live to a degree, are more for independent games, but I think if Nintendo had a game on it that was major, they would kind of draw attention to it so that other people would check it out instead of there's no way to know what kind of games come out on WiiWare or virtual consoles without actually going there or wait until Friday when Nintendo sends you the email.
I also think a problem with WiiWare is no demos.
They had like 5 demos for a little bit. I'm assuming that they should have found out that it actually did well because I downloaded the demos, but I haven't seen any since.
And I want to know those games they had.
Because how many people can be, when you compare, when you go on Xbox Live, how many times have you downloaded a game, the trial for a game, decided you liked it and bought it, but compared to how many games you just bought?
I've already done that once where I tried the demo and actually liked the game well enough to buy it, and that was with Monday Night Combat.
Because a lot of the time, I know I'm really bad for buying games on Xbox Live Arcade, because there will be a certain game and I will just buy it the instant it's available. Because I did that with Shadow Complex, I did that with one of the Serious Sams, I did it with endless amount of Xbox Live Arcade titles. But earlier, I downloaded the trial for Dead Rising 2K0 again. I had a ton of fun because I actually just messed around killing zombies, and I'm now debating buying it.
Oh, I can't wait for you to buy that. The sweet, sweet irony.
Yeah, but I know. I did say on Twitter that I will have to eat my words.
Talking about a game that's try before you buy, Sonic 4 is announced for release next week, actually, on WiiWare, PSN, and Xbox Live Arcade.
And you know what will happen is it will come out and everyone will be like, oh my god, I hate this, this is so bad, Sega, you messed up, you should be doing this and not that. And because yeah, that's what happens every time they release a Sonic game.
Well, actually, my biggest hurdle first is just finding a way to justify that $15 price for an episodic game, because I think at this point it's scheduled for 3 or 4 episodes.
Because if you look at the other episodic games on Xbox Live Arcade, especially when you buy them in a bundle, you get like 5 or 6 games for like 2,100 points or something like that. It's like, and the Sonic 4 Episode 1 is half of that. I don't know. I think it's a little overpriced. If they had it at 800, then I know a lot more people that would buy it. But
definitely, I'm gonna hold my final judgment to see how long the actual game is, how much depth there is. But I think that $15 is it's pretty pricey.
But the problem is, the problem with Xbox Live Arcade now is everybody's releasing 1,200 point games, and nobody is releasing 800 point games anymore.
I think because they figured out they can get away with it. Like Microsoft is running that deal where if you buy, what is it, 2,400 points,
yeah.
You get 800 points free. Which means if you spend $30, you get $10 back at some point. I'm still waiting for my Summer of Arcade money.
Yeah, a lot of people are. And it really annoys me when Microsoft don't...
The other thing with Xbox Live Arcade and PSN, at least to me, is that now that they're getting into the groove of actually having deals, like I see these $15 games, and I'm like, you know what, I don't want to buy it, and then like it's $7.50 next week.
Yeah, I think what Microsoft has, they tried it once over here. I don't know if they did in America, but they actually let us choose what we were going to have a deal on. So they had like 4 things, and like the most popular one wins. And if they do that more often, then that'll be brilliant, because that means I don't have to be apprehensive about buying DLC or anything.
You'll see.
But you can guarantee that things that are cheap, like Dead Rising 2K0, will never get deals off, because they're just insanely cheap anyway.
And now you've become Dead Zero's biggest fan?
No, I'm just saying that I'm just using it's a very good example of certain
of a game
things.
You hated last week, but you kind of want now.
Well, I have the points on my account right
is,
now.
Chad, are you buying Sonic 4?
I don't know. It didn't catch me really when I played it at E3. Like it didn't feel right.
You know what struck me about Sonic 4 is it's okay. People have been asking for an old school Sonic game, but Sonic 4 strikes me as that's all it is, and Sega didn't do anything to spice it up.
I was going to say, I don't know if anybody's been checking out the trailer Sega's been releasing at the games, but a lot of the stages look like they're just like Sonic 2 stages kind of redone.
But not like as good. It feels weird. Just the way Sonic interacts with everything.
I think they tried to combine...
Right.
Yeah, I think they tried to combine like the 2D stuff with the 3D stuff. Like he has the homing attack,
yeah,
which I think.
I don't think what Sega realizes is had they just taken the day levels out of Unleashed and sold that, like put a couple more in and sold it as a game, everybody would love it.
They are
actually,
doing that.
That's what Colors is looking like. It is
Sonic Colors.
Well,
and
yeah,
if
but
I was gonna get
really
a Sonic
good,
game this fall, Sonic Colors would be it. Like I would get that over Sonic 4, no question.
I'm still kind of.
But
hope,
is Sonic
hope
Colors
today.
Coming out on 360?
No.
Well then.
I'm still have hope for that, but I know somewhere Sega's just waiting to disappoint me with some type of announcement that maybe
Sonic
one of
Unleashed 2.
like some part of him turns into a wolf at some stage of the game, or like Tails is the main character actually in Sonic Solitaire there for two stages.
Here's what I, while we're on the Sonic topic of Sonic, who bought Sonic Adventure?
Are you talking about the original or
the one on the PSN XBLA?
No,
I hope nobody.
One thing that I noticed is that the things that people don't like about Sonic games are the fact that it's built. There's so many characters in it that nobody cares about, and all of this non-Sonic gameplay. Yet all I see is Sonic Adventure is full of that, and yet everybody loves it. How does that make any sense?
I think at the
people
time
don't
it
love
was.
It.
I know they, a lot of people that like it though, and yet they don't like all this.
No, they liked it at the time. I think you would hear that most people don't think the game has aged well now.
Oh, of course, but the problem with that, I think the problem with that is Sega just upredged it, and they just tried to map it to whatever buttons they could on the 360 controller, and then that's it.
I think
they
IGN gave it like a
9 or anything.
I think IGN gave it like a 3.5, and it wasn't just because it was a bad port, it's just because the game was just bad.
Kind of plays itself.
If you play, like, Perfect Dark, it's not, compared to today's standards in first-person shooters, it's not that great a game, but I still had fun playing it.
Game that stands up. I mean, there are some, like you said, there are some elements of Perfect Dark that don't work as well anymore, but the game itself is still a pretty solid shooter. It just doesn't have the advances. Whereas Sonic Adventures, I think, doesn't age well because it's kind of a game of its generation.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've kind of played the same 3D Sonic game for the last 10 years and it hasn't gotten any better.
Or any different. Well, any different for the...
Speaking of another title, well, actually, now that NBA Elite has been delayed until who knows when, NBA Jam is now a standalone product for 360 and PS3. Does anybody feel that it will become an Xbox Live Arcade or PSN title?
I think it would be better suited to be a smaller title like that. Because I really don't, that'd be a waste of a DVD, let alone a Blu-ray. But I'm not particularly, I wouldn't be surprised if it became an XBLA game, because don't they have some sort of NBA, is it an NBA or NHL, I can't remember, I don't know what the difference is. NHL is hockey, isn't it? They have some sort of NBA game on Xbox Live Arcade already. No, that's the football game, NFL. I don't know. I don't know these silly American sport names. Over here in England, we just call it basketball, football, hockey. Why can't you just do that?
You can do that. There's no problem with that.
Instead of using these silly abbreviations.
They stand for something that, I mean, I'm sure you folks have like an organization, don't you?
We have organizations, but we don't refer it to that. We just say, you know, there are major tournaments, and they're the only times we use the...
And you can say that here. I think if you say hockey, nobody's going to get offended.
Yeah, but is the NHL like the only major hockey tournament in the country?
No. I think Canada has one.
There's minor leagues. There's major... I mean...
Because we have like one major
national leagues
football tournament, and we just call it football. Oh. No. They've got a... My point is they've got a football game on Xbox Live Arcade, right? And... It's kind of like goofy in the style and arcadey in the style of NBA Jam, so there's no reason why they can't put NBA Jam on Xbox Live Arcade PSN.
Anybody else agrees?
I agree, but they probably think they're losing out on revenue because they can't put it for... Because if they put the Wii game for $50, of course they're going to put the Xbox 360 and PS3 games for... around the same price, because you're probably be getting more features too.
Yeah, that's
so they're not going to be putting it for $50 on XBLA. I don't even think you can do that. But so logically, it'll be a retail game.
At this point, I don't know if Microsoft's opposed to somebody charging $50 for a game on Xbox Live Arcade.
I think as long as it's not free, Microsoft can.
But they'll also, I don't know, like you figure that. If you put a game that expensive on only for digital distribution, you're losing out on two avenues. Like, you're going to lose a lot of people just seeing it in stores and picking it up there.
Yeah, I was actually kind of curious, because, I mean, originally this was going to be a free pack in NBA 8. So, I assume at that point it would have been a downloadable title or on the disc. But I guess not at the, you know, that's part of the reason it's not coming out this week with the Wii version. They're adding, I assume, the remix mode from the Wii. So it would be a more, I guess, full package now. And I can see them charging $50-$60 for it. I mean, it's one of those games I wish they would price, I guess not appropriately, it's always difficult to say, but I think if it was like $30, it'd be a much easier buy for most people.
Yeah. Well, I think we've settled that.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess the final point of discussion would be that Medal of Honor got some press this week. I didn't even know that game was still coming out.
Because EA backtracked on all of their defenses and said, oh, let's remove the Taliban after all. And I was disappointed in EA because the idea of the controversy is like you kind of stand up to it and then you prove that video games can be taken as seriously and that we don't have to cave in to all these stupid people, and then EA just caved in anyway.
I mean, I guess they can make a point, but honestly, does it make a difference?
Yes, like, I think it does.
What gets me is it's all semantic anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you play Halo, you have red versus blue, that's pretty much it. Like, I mean, does it matter if they're the Taliban or their opposing forces or the Nationals or whatever? Like, it's just a name. I understand that it's an actual
organization. What you have to understand is we're talking about people from that aren't from our generation. So we'll see it as just a player model, a player skin, a team name, whereas they'll see it as disrespectful and
You know what is disrespectful? Anyone shooting American soldiers in the face. How about that? The fact that they're called Taliban makes no difference.
People who don't understand video games at all.
And I get that, but I mean, I understand what you mean on a principle point, but in general, I don't see a big deal with renaming it an opposing forces, because I mean, it's not like you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm playing the Taliban today, woohoo!
I'm disappointed because EA and everyone defended EA, everyone who was smart anyway, and then EA just caved in.
EA's not a stupid company, I guess.
What do you mean EA's not a stupid company?
Oh, that's not true. But I mean, everybody says, you know,
if it's just a name, if it's just a name,
why change it?
Why change it back? And if it's just a name, why does it make them not a stupid company for changing it to something else?
Well, I meant like you don't have that negative attachment to it, like the whole hot coffee thing with
for the time it takes to change the name, it's worth it for them to avoid people not buying the game based on principle alone.
And I think that's
they could take the moral high road, stand by their thing, but they're a company and they like money. People don't like being offended. Whether they should be offended or not is ridiculous. Like, whatever.
This is why I hate being really opinionated, because I would just say, screw their principles, screw what they think, do what you want. And EA
and
just
they did what they wanted.
And yeah, EA wants money, and I'm one for principles and not money, whereas
they're a company, they're not a person. They have no principle to stand on. They have piles and piles of cash they want to stack.
Yeah, but if they really wanted, they could have just not risked the game development in the first place.
That's true, but at the same point, people talk
about
been
doing
this game.
All right without Medal of
Honor. Look at all the attention they got out of this.
I mean, when did it come out? 2 weeks from now? When does it come out?
I don't know.
Does anyone care?
I played it, though.
Does anyone know off the top of their head? Like,
other than these controversies, does anybody care about the game? I mean, it's been announced for almost a year now, and honestly, other than this, and when it first got introduced, I don't remember anybody talking about it.
This is all I'm gonna say is I own three Call of Duty games already.
Yeah, I'm not looking to make it
and
a four.
I own a Battlefield game already. So, you know.
I imagine people who want to play the Battlefield 3 beta are probably gonna be stoked about Medal of Honor, but other than that, probably not.
But yeah. It's sad that nobody knows when it's coming out.
I don't think it's sad at all. It just says something for the game.
Yeah.
It does.
I mean, I think the game always had that problem.
The thing is, I have with this is EA wanted the game to be taken seriously, and I find that if they're just going to cave into some media attention and say, nah, let's just change the Taliban's name.
Well, I mean, okay, Would it have made a difference to you? Like, would you have bought the game if they kept it a title ban?
I wouldn't have bought the game anyway.
Which is my point.
I just think that...
The principle sounds good, but it's not that he's in a customer here.
Yeah. Well, you have a point.
Like I said, I honestly don't care. I mean, if it was October up to me, they would say... There we, so it is next... Wow, it's next week.
No, it's the week after.
No, October 12th next week.
Or December 10th.
Well, do you count Sunday this week, or do you count Sunday next week?
October 12th is in 9 days.
I count Sunday as the start of this week.
It's in nine days.
Okay, so next week, yeah.
In 8 days. What?
Wait, do you count Monday as the start of the week?
It's part of the weekend. Yes.
I'm sorry, but our calendar starts on Sunday, so I've always been accustomed to that. I understand it's called a weekend, but... Yes, our calendar...
This is the way I put it, right? Even if you count tomorrow, right, which is a Monday, it's 8 days away, so then it's not next week, it's the week after.
It's still next week. Because next week encompasses a whole 7 days, it doesn't just encompass the first eight.
Well, then the work week would start on Sunday.
And it's 9 days away.
It's 9 days away, okay? So, it's 9 days away, we'll go with that.
Okay. So, my...
The rest of it's semantics.
It's not semantics, it's how it works.
Okay, whatever. The point is that it comes out in 9 days and nobody knew that offhand.
It is not next week.
What?
No matter how you define week, it is not next week.
It is next week.
All right.
If I count a week from Sunday to Saturday, that means this is the start of the week.
If it's more than 7 days away, you can't say next week.
Why not?
Because then it's not
a week.
The next
is 7 days.
I get that, but that would be the next week, because if this week is 7 days, the next one would be the start of the next 7 days, which would be the next week, not the current week.
It's still not next week.
This is an asinine conversation, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, it is. And I think it's a great place to end it, because we will see you next week. Well, actually, I won't see you folks next week.
Where are you going to be?
I am going to be at New York Comic Con.
Bastard.
You went to PAX.
I know, but I always go to PAX.
And you guys get to go to all the cool conventions. Screw you.
You went to E3.
He has a point.
So, am I missing something here?
Fine.
I was about to say, we've all been to conventions this year. Mine's is just more broad.
Yeah, but it's not even like it's the main Comic-Con.
I know, which is kind of bad, but... I'm not upset because I get to see first footage of the Green Lantern and Young Justice cartoon.
Is this going to be another movie that Comic-Con hypes up that doesn't sell very well at the box office?
And you know what we'll get to do? We'll get to sit at home and watch it when it comes up on the internet.
Yes.
Roughly 10 minutes after that.
Which is true, but I mean, I get free swag, I get to play games, Epic Mickey's there, Marvel vs. Capcom 3's there, what else is there? Sure, there's going to be some other things. I'm going to a Marvel vs. Capcom 3 panel on Friday.
Oh, there will probably be so many more characters in it this time.
Yeah, they're announcing
the
characters.
The roster was so small at E3. There was like six people.
They're announcing four characters, I think, on Friday, which makes sense for that comic convention. At this point, I assume the rest of this is just us talking and not the actual podcast.
I don't know.
Sure. You know what? Let's just record a goodbye then, and I'll edit out that ass part, and then we can continue talking. So Anthony had to head out early, but for myself, Michael, Chad, and Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Auf Wiedersehen.
We'll see you next week, which may or may not be 7 days from now.
next
GG.
Week.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are happy
days.
These days are ours. Share them with me. Goodbye, gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, it can't be wrong. Rockin' and rollin' all week long.